Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the mailbag edition of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined, as always, by Michael.
Season's greetings, y'all.
Again with a different intro. I like it.
I'm trying to shake things up.
Speaking of shaking things up, I mentioned it last week, and you kind of chimed in afterwards, after you listened to it. The 23rd episode is coming up, and I think we need to do something special. I don't know what that is, because that's in 2 weeks, and looking 2 weeks forward, there could be no sports going on. There could be tech in Omaha, maybe. So
Rangers baseball.
It's an interesting spot. Rangers. Oh, they're awful. But the 23rd episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast is coming up. We need to think about something special.
Maybe we could commission Brian to
create the design for a shirt or something.
Yeah, to give us a cool 23 Personnel logo or 23 something.
To update the logo, maybe.
Well, I mean, maybe not update it, but just kind of commemorate the 23rd episode. We'll see if he'd be willing to do the same thing. See if you'll pay him what you pay LeBar. same contributing price.
Send Brian an offer of a beverage.
Yeah.
That's all I ever pay LeBar is, hey, do you want a water? No, I'm good.
So he doesn't even take you on it. You get a refund for a water.
He's never accepted any offer. Which I guess is fine. That's, you know.
We could come up with something. Maybe we have to do something with the 23. Something with the number. Or we pick out our two favorite running backs and three favorite tight ends, or whatever we need to do. But yeah, I'm with you. Y'all mentioned it at the end of that last one, and we'll have to start brainstorming some ideas. Especially because there won't be any sports to talk about, we might as well milk this as much as we can.
It's possible.
I mean, it's possible. Don't want to jinx anything, but it's possible.
Yeah. I probably over romanticize the thought of making money on this, but I was like, I wonder if we could open up like a little merch store and sell things. Like, nobody cares about a podcast and buying a shirt that says 23 Personnel Podcast on it, or a hat or some kind of bumper sticker. Nobody cares about that.
Oh,
at least right now.
Yeah. And I don't want to pile on, but think of all the podcasts you like and you listen to. Have you ever once thought, man, I need a cap that says, you know, revisionist history by Malcolm Gladwell on it. I need me one of those This American Life bumper stickers. Or
which is funny that you mentioned revisionist history. That's one of the only other podcasts I listen to. It's not sports related.
Oh, did you hear that before? Did you hear the one that he had? That was a week
on
or
football?
Two. Yeah. Yeah,
dude,
he wasn't messing around.
I was listening to it. Like, the balls of that dude,
yeah,
to be invited to a commencement speech
and then
to rail on the administration of the school.
Yep.
Like, dang.
Yeah. He doesn't. I mean, if you've listened to it, you know already. He doesn't
mess around.
When he takes a stance on something, that's it. That's where he stands on it. He'll stand in front of a room of people who paid him to be there and ask him what they've done about the suicide of one of their players from 3 years ago, and then answer it and say nothing. just in front of
why
everybody.
Why haven't you been doing... I know, like, just calls into question why they aren't doing
more. Just calls
more.
Everyone. I mean, the students, too, calls everyone out. And
yeah, he tells them to boycott their own school's football. It's like...
Yeah, quit going to the games.
In front of the... Like, yeah, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's a good episode on football safety, especially with traumatic brain injuries and concussions. Really gets you thinking. Not that I think we should turn in the mailbag section into a revisionist history
revision
spot.
Revisionist history.
The other romanticized thought, you know, I keep having is bringing in some kind of sponsorship, whether it's a corporate sponsorship or some kind of crowdfunding sponsorship. I mean, I can turn on the premium function on the podcast and say, okay, this episode will be premium, so either, you know, it only goes to subscribers or you have to pay per episode.
Yeah.
I think that, and I think, like, we'll get zero downloads.
Yeah, I kind of think so, too, because I don't have any that I do that with.
I wouldn't want to pay. Your question, though, when you asked about any podcast where you'd want to buy merch, it would be the Solid Verbal, the guys at SBN, maybe.
Yeah.
And they do have some merchandise. I just don't know if I would, like, actively seek out, oh, I really need to go buy that, like. Only time I think about it is when he mentions it before the podcast starts. I was like, I guess I could check it out.
Right. Now, I do have Steak in the Plains merch. Like, I buy some of that stuff myself because I don't know why.
I'm also personally invested in how successful it is, so.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do that, and I have no problem with that. But there's just something about a podcast. I haven't really thought about it. Yeah, I guess it would make us look official if we had 23 personnel polos. And we showed up somewhere.
the only thing I think about I would ever print and wear would be like a hat or something.
Yeah, I could see a hat, or
and then giving out stickers or something.
A hat or like stationery, or like
pens.
A mug. I love mugs.
All these different ideas that we aren't overlapping on. That's funny.
No, I know. Yeah, we're totally like, yeah, that too. Even though that's not what I thought of.
And nobody would buy a single piece of it.
No.
Except for us and maybe the guys that's taking the planes.
Yeah.
Like Seth and Brian and Dan. Like, they'd be great supporters. I just don't know if, you know, we would have any sales outside of the six of us.
I think it's possible if the right person listens and or just the right person is a fan or whatever. And they know someone who has like I really think it's possible we could get like a restaurant, like a local restaurant, possibly to sponsor someday. But I just don't see it being like a lucrative.
I also don't think we have the listenership base to warrant anything currently. So.
No, yeah, we probably don't. Maybe, you know, maybe when football season picks up, it'll be a different story.
Yeah, maybe. But
we'll have to see.
We'll be 30 plus episodes in at that point. Like, what have you been doing the past 30 weeks?
We've just been talking.
Building
the
base, bro.
Yeah.
Building the base.
Yeah, man. We're going to take over the world. Shoot.
All right. Let's get to our listener questions. Dan got us going. Like I said, seems we sparked a fun hashtag Red Raiders internal debate that I turned to asking the 23 personnel to examine using the results of this trivial Twitter poll.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
He says Texas Tech is better known in the college sports world as a football school, baseball school, basketball school, or other. Now, the interesting part about this question, I think, is better known in the college sports world part. Because currently, I say Texas Tech is a baseball school because of the success they've had recently, high rankings, you know, their performance. I think they're best known as a baseball school, or they are currently a baseball school. Basketball could be you can make a point for basketball coming up. But I think in the college sports world, just because of how ubiquitous football is, especially in Texas, it's hard to get away from football.
I agree.
Before we get into the results of the poll, what do you have any other thoughts? Like,
yeah, I actually voted football school. I understand exactly what he's saying because success-wise, yeah, we're a baseball school. I mean, my gosh. We just went over it on the previous episode. They've hosted 3 out of the 5 last super regionals. Or they've been to the super regional 3 out of the last 5 seasons. They've hosted all 3 times. The 2 previous times they went to the College World Series. I mean, they went to the finals. In that same amount of time, basketball has made the tournament twice. And they made a deep run this year, which was great. But beyond that, that was, you know, the only other kind of national success. Football hasn't had any national success. But the same point you're kind of going with is like if I meet people, if I go to Vegas or if I go to Dallas or something, oh, Texas Tech, yeah, you know, Kingsbury,
Mike Leach, and
yeah,
Kingsbury
Air Raid, Mike yeah. Leach, you know, that's the 3 things that come up almost every single time immediately. They may even bring up Baker Mayfield. They'll bring up, you know,
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. It's immediately going to be that. It's not going to be like, oh man, you guys swept Oklahoma State and Stillwater. They're not going to say that. So I say
they're not going to say you've made it to 3 supers in 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to say, man, yeah. Or, I can't believe how. How well Zaire Smith did, and that he's going to go to the draft. So
can't believe he got picked up by the Spurs.
Yeah. Oh man, gosh, that's a dream scenario. Anyway,
speaking of, hold on. That may be in the realm of the 23rd episode. Is the NBA draft?
Oh, it will be. I bet that will be right around that time. Oh, and I think while we were recording this, I had some like sports news about Popovich and Kawhi Leonard that I may have to read.
Always something with those two.
It popped through, but I didn't get the chance to read it. So I understand what Dan's asking. I don't think we should be known as a football school at this point, but I think we still are. So that was what I voted for.
Some interesting interaction on this tweet with other guys. Dustin, I guess, is a coworker of yours or a friend of yours.
Yeah.
Said the poll is incomplete without the inclusion of meat judging school. And you said he's not actually a Tech fan.
No, he's 100% correct.
Yeah,
so
if
that
would include meat judging or chess. The list is incomplete. That's probably what the other is.
That would fall under the other, and you could even go with like women's tennis now,
or golf, since they were on the cusp of
indoor track,
competing for a national championship.
Outdoor track,
mm-hmm.
So distance running. I mean, these are some incredible sports being played here at Tech that does not involve a pigskin,
but can involve pig parts.
Oh,
got you there.
That's it, man.
So I was gonna say, is another comment from a listener, an STP reader, Triforce. That she said that Texas Tech is a spring sport school, which I agree with.
Yep.
While basketball is technically a winter sport, the good stuff starts really going full tilt in the spring, so it counts. So yeah, if you count basketball, you've got basketball, baseball, your outdoor track, all things that are really, really successful at Texas Tech right now, and tennis, excuse me. So,
yeah,
spring sports, just not fall, which is volleyball, football.
Ooh, yeah. Well, volleyball did better this year. Oh, well, we got to remember soccer too, because soccer had a down year. But what was it?
But
2 years ago?
They're a fall sport, and they're really, really good with
Tom
Stone
really
and his
good.
Group.
So, I mean, I think they just had a down year last year. And even then, I don't think it was, like, awful or something. It just you know, they didn't get in to the national rankings like they were the year before, I don't think.
So Dan put this poll up about 24 hours ago. You still have another 6 days to go vote. Currently, football school is coming at 31% in second place. Baseball school, maybe because of the relevancy and the timeliness, is in first at 42%. That's where I put my vote. Basketball school is at 11%. And other combination is at 16%. So,
yeah.
What's interesting, if you make the comparison between sports, you know, baseball and basketball. So basketball this year went to the Elite Eight. Baseball is in the Super Regionals, which is, there's 16 teams left. So if you make their equivalent, like, so baseball is currently in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
If you make it to Omaha, then you're Elite Eight. And then, you know, passing, there's not really a good comparison to you get the championship game because teams start getting kind of knocked off. It's a, one of those, it's a lot like the Big 12 conference tournament where you've got two four-team pods that do a double elimination tournament, and the winners of those will play for the championship.
Right.
So it there's not a really good comparison to basketball once you get to Omaha. But you make it to Omaha, you're Elite Eight. Until you get to the final game, then you're, you know, 1-2.
Yeah, and so the obvious comparison to that on football would be either...
If you make it to, like, the New Year's...
Yeah, the New Year's bowl games or... You know,
or the playoffs.
Or win the... Or maybe... Well, and if you win the Big 12, you probably would make one of those. But maybe not necessarily, depending on if the other schools just have knockout years. Well, I guess, actually, there's probably no way you wouldn't make one of those if you won.
You know
Big
how
12.
Ecstatic we would be if we were in a New Year's Six bowl?
Well, I don't know,
like,
what
a playoff game, but a New Year's Six, like a Sugar Bowl on an off year. You know, we would lose our heads, man.
Yeah, and we'd be playing someone not, you know, Minnesota or something.
Or Central Florida or no, South Florida.
Yeah, yeah, we wouldn't be playing the Bulls. We'd be playing, you know, some team that would be equally as excited, probably, or slightly disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they had some really high expectations and they didn't quite make them, but that'd be nuts. You know, Tech fans would go crazy for that. So I still think, I mean, I see why you voted baseball, but I still think it's better known as a football school.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Kyle Lang, who is on your Mount Rushmore of Tech athletics? You're limited to four individuals across all the sports. And this is where my recency of my Tech fanship is going to hurt my rankings, because it's going to be guys that I know and that I've seen.
Well, are you going to... Okay, how do you want to do this?
So there's not going to be any player before 2007 on my list.
Okay, I definitely have some beyond that. How do you want to do this? Do you want to list off all 4 years, or do we go one at a time, or what do you think?
Let's each do our set of four.
Okay, all right.
Now, the other problem is because I'm so much more of a football fan, at least early on in my Texas Tech fandom, like, it's going to be skewed towards football.
That's my issue, too.
So, top four, Mount Rushmore of Tech athletics. Like I said, it's going to be 2007 and later. And it's going to be skewed heavy football. Obviously, number one on that list is going to be Crabtree.
Gotcha.
Another guy on that list would have to be Harrell. Even though he spans before 2006. And I'm blanking. I'm trying to think of, like, a basketball guy. He's before 2007, so let me go ahead and start breaking my own rules here.
You don't have to make rules.
But I've seen enough of him in highlights and, like, all that kind of stuff on the basketball side, and I would say Daryl Dora.
Yeah.
And then I'm having a hard time not going back to football, because I'm trying to think, like, okay, if I was to go to another sport that's not football, it would my thoughts are track, and there's two guys that come to mind, and I'm blanking on their names. So there's Trey Culver, and then the guy, Gil Roberts, I think was like a distance runner and jumper that were like in the Olympics and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I remember that guy like from 3 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, or even further back, like 12.
Oh, okay, never mind. Well, there was someone who. There was another really excellent distance runner a few years back.
Oh, you're talking about Kennedy?
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, Kennedy. That's got to be him, I think. I sound very confident. That's got to be him, I think. Byron Kennedy? No, Kennedy Kathuka. Like, and I'm probably butchering that. Kennedy Kathuka.
Maybe it's not that. So, yeah, so... Gil Roberts is obviously one of the guys I was thinking of. I'm sorry, we're going to be typing here. Kennedy, was it like Kibiego?
No, well, the guy I'm talking about is Kennedy Kathuka. Kithuka.
Maybe that's him.
He was from sorry. Kenya.
Yeah, so one of those guys, because I know they were doing so much for the program and then competing on an international stage far beyond, you know, what Crabtree and Harold have done in their respective sports. So I have those two because of my football and recency bias. I would have, obviously, one of those track runners, track stars, and then basketball with Daryl Dora.
Well,
don't at me, bro, because I ain't a lifelong Red Raider fan.
All right, I'm gonna
know the good old days. No, I'm not saying these are the best four athletes of all time. I'm not gonna make that argument because I don't know enough of history to defend my choices. But
I'm gonna knock you a little bit. Those aren't very good. I mean,
I'm sure you can replace all of mine with better football players from the past.
But. We only have one overlap, and it's Crabtree. That's who I have on my list for sure. He was just probably one of the best receivers in college football ever.
And he hasn't really translated that to the pros, but...
Right, but that wasn't the question. It was Mount Rushmore of Tech athletics. And so, definitely at Tech, he is just... You know, several weeks ago we had a podcast where we were reading that he was at the top of every list. And he only played here for 2 years. So, mm-hmm. Crabtree's no-brainer for me. I'm also going with Cheryl Swoops, man. She's like one of the best.
I didn't even think
See? Of that. See? No, you missed an obvious one to me. She's a four-time WNBA champion.
Marsha Sharp?
Yeah, but she's...
Because it doesn't have to be an athlete. He just has Tech athletics.
That's true. You could put Marsha Sharp on there.
Go coaches. We can put Tadlock up there.
She's already got a freeway. She's fine. but no, definitely Cheryl Swoops. She's four-time WNBA champion, won the national championship at Tech, one of the best female... Well, probably just one of the best basketball players in general, but definitely... one of, if not the best, female basketball player. So
I'm going to go crawl in my corner and just
that was an easy one for me. I'm going to throw in another one, too. Number one draft pick from 1983, Gabe Rivera.
And he was on my list, but like I've seen like one clip of him playing.
I've seen...
And I've just heard like he was really good. And I was like, okay, I don't doubt it.
He was chasing people down, man. It was nuts. This was a lineman. He was a nose tackle.
I'm not in charge of actually erecting this structure because it would...
He was like, tackling on the sidelines.
Who the F is this guy like? What is he doing?
You just got to look up some Gabe Rivera highlights. And for those of you who don't know Gabe Rivera's story, it's a sad one. But definitely check out the highlights. The dude was phenomenal. He was huge. He's 6'2", 300 pounds. And he would chase people and tackle them on the sidelines after lining up in front of the center. So, okay, I've got him on there. And then my fourth one, this may sound crazy to you, but probably because it we just happened to watch, they replayed the thing on Welker that they did on ESPN. They replayed that this weekend, so I saw part of that. And I saw all the stats that he leads in, you know, with punts and punt returns and all that kind of stuff. And then, okay, yeah, you technically aren't supposed to take into how well they did beyond the Texas Tech, I guess. But he did really well outside of Texas Tech. And I forgot all this stuff. Like, when he was at Miami, he was doing kickoffs. He kicked PATs some. He kicked some field goals some. He's probably one of the only... if you checked all the boxes he did, he's probably the only receiver ever to, like, win a Super Bowl, catch a touchdown in a Super Bowl, kick a field goal, kick a PAT, and kick a kickoff to ever live. So I've got Welker or Zach Thomas.
Those are solid choices.
Those two are kind of like, I mean, I think I could go with either one of those on my Mount Rushmore, but...
So the question that we had similar to this a couple weeks ago was like build a top five, like to build a team.
Yeah.
A top five, whatever, like, you know.
He had skill positions.
Quarterback, receivers from all times. Like, well, I only know like back to 2007 and, you know.
Yeah, mine weren't that great because I didn't. Well, and, you know, Rivera played defense anyway. He's not going to be our
Zach
top
Thomas
running back.
Was a linebacker.
Right. Right, but definitely on that list, I had Crabtree and Welker, I think. So that kind of overlapped a little bit, but yeah. Rivera, Swoops, Crabtree, and then Zach Thomas or Wes Welker. I could live with either of those.
Yep. So we had another question, or we had a question, not another question. We had a question from Triforce Shadow. How does Tad Luck manage to replace as much talent as he loses to graduation in the draft every year without dropping off too much as far as production? So we kind of talked about this in the first part of the episode. I have no idea. It would drive me crazy to try to be balancing a roster and recruiting with the draft and graduation and all that weird timing, and you have very little control over any of it because a guy can get drafted and he can stay with your team. Or, you know, get drafted and gone. And like, well, I wasn't planning on him leaving. He just blew up this year. Wasn't recruiting to replace him. He's got to be some kind of wizard. So
yeah.
we talked about Chris Beard having a cape. I think Tadlock's going to have like a wand and some kind of some hat and a beard. A cloak.
I can't imagine. He's got to, you think right now, he's got to be kind of ignoring it. Is that
it probably has a lot
to
do with sorry, I keep trying to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to ignore it because right now, you know, at this point in the season, you got to get ready for the next round of the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
To go into the Super Regionals.
That's got to be your focus.
You can't be thinking about it. But also, as of day two of the draft, you've lost four players. Or you've had four players drafted.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way it's not in the back of your mind, but you've just got to be like, I mean, I can't think about that right now. I just can't. But,
and you've got another three or so that could be drafted and could leave, and that's just that's what's on your team now, not including the guys that you've recruited to build your team that also could be drafted and never show up to campus.
Yeah.
So a lot of it obviously has to do with, you know, you got to be in constant communication with the guys, especially their families. Both current players and recruits, see how they feel and kind of feel them out for where they might be interested in going pro in terms of where they get drafted. And you just got to be really nimble in your recruiting and your evaluation. Be like, we want the best possible players. Understand they may get drafted. Part of your pitch has to be like, yes, you were drafted in round 10 as a high school senior. Come play for us 3 years, and we'll get you top two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a hard sell, obviously, because you're making promises that you have very little control over because you're not a scout. You're not controlling their performance for 3 years and how they might project on a draft board. So I don't know. It's super difficult for baseball. I think it's one of the most difficult things to do as a baseball coach outside of staying out of the minutiae of the actual game of baseball, because there's so many little things in baseball that can make or break a team. The last thing she says, success begets croutes, or croutes beget success.
Yeah.
The chicken the egg argument, I don't know.
I think in this case, it's going to...
it's probably success
yeah.
going towards recruiting.
Because they're going to see that, and they're going to be able to play that card like, hey, we had four guys drafted. I mean, four so far. There's still 19 days left in the MLB draft. So that we've had four, whether they all go or not, doesn't matter. You can say we had four guys drafted last year.
Next, what was it, a couple of years ago we had like 10 guys drafted overall?
Yeah,
I think
so. Yeah. And, you know, you could point to people who are still playing, and you could, I know nothing about baseball. What's that guy, Dallas?
Dallas Braden?
Yeah. I mean, he had a great career, and now he's got a good career in broadcasting. And, I mean, there's some stuff to point to that they're just kind of legacy guys. I know that he wasn't one of Tadlock's guys, but I think she's right on the success begets croutes point, because people are paying attention. Apparently, the Orioles are really paying attention. Was it the Orioles or the Padres?
Padres, no, it's the Padres. Two of the first four drafted.
Yeah, the Padres got Little and Quezada, so they're paying attention to Lubbock, Texas.
So, Devil's advocate to that point, the better you recruit, the more likely they are to be drafted.
Yeah, case in point, that's obvious.
Last year, your number one recruit was a pitcher out of New Mexico, Trevor Rogers. Never made it to campus because he got drafted high enough. He went from high school to professional baseball.
Wow.
You know, he's a high school senior, 6'6", 190, throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. 95 miles an hour as a senior in high school.
Gosh. I don't know if I've even driven in a car going that fast with a baseball.
I have, and it was a little scary.
Not recommended.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Back to our listener question. We've already got another comment from Dustin Jones, who he'll send us questions here and there. And he replied with, does, quote, locking a kid in a closet, or, quote, screwing Leach out of his job count as football? That's mostly what I hear from outsiders about TTU. And that goes back to what we were saying. Yeah, it's pretty synonymous with just, oh, well, tell me about all the bad stuff that's happened. Or they'll remember Air Raid, like we were saying. They'll remember some good stuff, but it's still football. Football still dominates it.
Yeah, no joke. So, really quickly back to Rogers. Trevor Rogers, he was drafted 13th overall.
My gosh.
Last year. As a high school senior. So, he was your number one
Bryce
recruit,
Harper
obviously.
Type deal, or what?
Got to be. So he went to the Marlins. I don't know where he's at in the organization. It doesn't really matter. Making money is
yes.
what he's doing.
Yep.
So, yeah, success can bring you better recruits. Better recruits can raise, you know, elevate your draft profile. Like, hey, look, we had 10 guys or 12 guys drafted. Three of those were high school guys. Do they really count?
Yeah.
To your team? Probably not. But
I think it kind of... It's a chicken egg deal, but I would say for the most part, it always changes. You know, you look at a place like Alabama for football. Yeah, they had some recruits beget success there. That was how, you know, that was where they started. But then probably I'd say for the last 5 years, it's just success begets recruits. I mean, you've got people knocking down the doors to go play at Alabama. They don't even have to try.
Guys knocking
anymore.
Down the doors to go coach at Alabama.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's just
you're creating positions to bring in.
Because they know if they go coach at Alabama, they'll be the next coach at you know, South Carolina, or yeah. any other insert SEC school here somewhere.
The hardest thing that I think that goes with this to baseball is that you can have guys out of high school go professional.
Yeah, that is a definite wild card that you don't see.
Like, so even in basketball, you can recruit a guy and he will be at your school at least 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Football, he's there 3 years. Baseball, you can recruit him. He can be your best guy.
Everything could be riding on him.
Never shows up.
Never shows up. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't fault it. I kind of wish there was a mandatory, I hate saying mandatory, but like some kind of period where they have to go to college and perform, because I hate missing on guys like that. There's another guy that same year, like one of the top players out of Canada. He's like a first baseman, super power hitter, and got drafted real high. Was also committed to Tech, never showed up. You just wish you had your hands on him for a season.
Right.
But then, like, on the other side, you've got teams like, or, you know, sports like football and basketball saying, well, if there was a minor league process to this, we wouldn't have the one and dones and all the drama with guys transferring to get the best possible draft profile and all that kind of stuff. So, as a baseball fan, I wish there were more high school kids going into college instead of going drafted into the professionals, but I get it.
Yeah. I totally get it too. It'd be hard not to take that kind of a paycheck.
Cause okay, we're talking, okay, let me just really quickly, I'm trying to pull this up. That draft selection for Trevor Rogers had to be in the millions of dollars in terms of like his that pick selection, the value of that pick. Because we saw, what's his name? I'm just blanked. Grant Little. His salary slot is like in the upper 800,000s as the 74th pick. And then your signing bonus can be...
how much?
Like, it was nearly 900,000.
Huh. We just had a moment of silence, I think, for that.
Yeah,
at
okay,
21
so,
years old.
Yeah, 900,000, and that's not including your signing bonus, which is going to be the biggest thing.
Do you know how much milk and cereal I could buy for 900,000 as a 21-year-old?
You know what I would have done with $900,000 as 21 years old? I would have bought like a $900,000 house and be like, cash broke, but like, look at the mansion I'm in, bro.
I know, and then you're on a traveling baseball team.
And never in it, or like buy like a $500,000 house, like a Lamborghini, and never drive it.
Yeah, that's like Farva's solution. I'd buy me a million dollar car on Super Troopers.
Yeah. So it says that the Marlins, for their first selection last year, so the pick they used on Trevor Rogers was slotted at $3,875,800. Can you imagine that kind of money like thrown at you as a high school senior?
No.
Nearly $4 million.
No, I can't.
You have no idea what to do with yourself with $4 million in high school.
I
don't know what I would do with $4 million today.
No, I don't know what I'd do either.
30 years old.
Yeah, I think it would, it'd be really boring things now.
Yeah, I'd pay off loans, I'd pay off a house, and buy a couple cars.
That's what I'd do too.
And you're like, okay, now what? College fund for Grayson and you know, other future kids we may have, and
might get a PS4.
I'd buy a really big TV. I might buy a boat.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so we're thinking about spending all this money, like that could be $200,000.
I know.
Okay, so I now have $3.8 million left.
Yeah, you're sitting okay. Man, I don't know. I think definitely you'd buy a big house somewhere.
Pay cash, like just walk into the bank, like
yeah,
here
definitely a
stack.
Probably more than one car. I bet he's gonna have like a jacked up truck, and he's gonna have like a
sports car,
some sort of sports car, and then maybe some like a Tesla or some cool electric car. You know, he's gonna have like three cars.
And a boat.
Yeah, and then a boat, but
like ATVs.
Yeah. Oh man, I'd probably spend some money on some ATVs. I don't even know where I'd ride him, but I'd spend some money on him.
Well, so he's from Carlsbad.
Oh.
So he's probably like used to going out to the dunes.
Yeah, there's tons of places up there to mess around out in the sand, the brush.
Yeah. Anyways, $4 million a high school senior. I keep going back. I don't know how I would manage that process of recruiting in a sport like college baseball, where you have to replace guys that unexpectedly leave for the draft. Your recruiting class may get decimated by the draft. It's just a difficult position to be in.
Yeah, and I just can't. It's such a wild card to have a pro team as an option. It's bad enough to have other schools, you know, because they can decommit, you know, like you see in any other sport, except for basketball. Basketball usually, whenever someone commits to something, they usually kind of stick with it. But mm-hmm. football's really all over the map. You know, you may think you have someone till the very last second, and they have gone to another school. And it would be even worse if they had an offer from the Rams on top of that. Like, well, yeah, you could either play at Tech or Oklahoma State.
Or go get paid millions of dollars to play professional.
Or Seattle.
Your lifetime goal.
For the Seahawks. You know, which of those three are you going to do? Oh, well, of course. Let's go to the Pacific Northwest.
Texas Tech, Alabama, or the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's an easy choice.
Yeah, it is. It is, because I can get paid legally at Seattle. Yeah.
All right, last question we got this week. Red Raider Reset Man had a great question a few weeks ago. This week, he chimes in, who is your pick to replace Cliff if he doesn't improve this year? So we're going with the assumption that performance is bad enough for him to be fired. And then he gives us, realistically, so he's like, not Urban Meyer or Nick Saban.
So that means
I want you to
Kiffin's
go
still on the table, right?
So I can't remember if we were talking about it with Hunter or if it was on his own podcast. He was like, I don't know why anybody wouldn't be going after Lane Kiffin, because he's such a wild card. He would be such a entertainment hire.
Yeah.
Probably because I place more value in my program than hiring a goof like Kiffin.
Right. And well, okay. So truthful answer, I mentioned on the last podcast, but I'll say it again here too. This last weekend, I met in Dallas with three fellow Tech grads. We've been friends for, gosh, a long time now. And, of course, we talked about this and football. And I think the general consensus with us is that Seth Luttrell is probably going to be the realistic guy that would be on Hocutt's radar. And I wasn't aware of it, but Adam mentioned it, that Luttrell and Hocutt actually played together at Kansas. And I don't think I knew that. Kansas State, sorry. So that's my, you know, that's my realistic pick.
I really want to see how Luttrell does another year.
I mean, I think this year is going to tell us a little bit more, but that's just kind of...
And I wish he was at a bigger, better school.
Right. I do too, but that's realistic for us at this point. He's down the road. He has connections to Texas high school coaches already. He'll get a little bit
more
connection.
He's got Graham Harrell on his staff.
Yeah, and I mean, the only other one I could think of that they were talking about Sonny Cumbie, and every time they would bring that up, I was like, no, y'all are joking. Yeah, I think they were joking. Pretty sure they were, but we'd bring up like, yeah, well, you know, when Cumbie's running things next year, it's like, no, shut up, that's not gonna happen. Y'all are messing with me.
I have a hard time thinking back like to when TCU was really successful under Cumbie. It was like, was that really Cumbie or was it Meacham?
Yeah, we'll never know, because they were co-offensive coordinators.
He's still a co-offensive coordinator, isn't he?
I don't even know anymore. I kind of, you know, he might be.
I'm not even gonna like look it up. I'm just assuming he's still a co.
But that's my answer, you know. Unless Jimbo Fisher becomes available, you know, we buy out his contract.
Well, so here's the dumb thing.
Which I don't really know if I'd want Jimbo Fisher, but I'm just kidding.
There's like zero incentive for Jimbo Fisher to stay at A&M because his entire contract is guaranteed by A&M. He could leave this year.
Oh, that is like the most Aggie thing ever.
$75 million.
He could leave this year and then go sail a boat to Zimbabwe and then just kind of hang out.
He could like just cash that check and just never go back the rest of his life and live off $75 million that he didn't have to work. Well, he's worked up until now to get it. I understand that. He's earned it. But like to earn that money from A&M, like he could go cash that check day one and then just vanish.
Let's see. So how old is he? He's 52.
50s? Yeah.
He's 52, so he's still really young. He's got a lot of golden years left. Why would you want to wait
40 years?
Yeah, so if he's
maybe
40?
Okay, 30 years.
I mean, my genetics aren't living that good, but maybe yours are. I'm not going to be 92. I don't know anybody that was 92 in my family.
Okay, let's go conservative and say 25 years.
Okay.
25 years to live off of $75 million, so $3 million a year.
I could do it.
Minus tax and everything. $3 million a year.
Dude, I could do it for 10%
for the rest
of
his life if he doesn't do a dang thing.
I could do it for just a measly 300 grand.
Yeah, measly.
Just a measly 300 grand. Just
if I was making 300,000 right now.
For just waking up, I would be fine. I think I could manage.
Yeah. So, I don't know how realistic it is. The guy that keeps popping up on my list that I want, number one, if Kingsbury's gone this year, I want the kitchen sink thrown at this man, is Dave Aranda.
Oh, yeah. He always comes up, too.
Now, I know he's been offered other jobs, and he was offered a considerable pay raise to leave LSU to be a head coach somewhere else, and he turned it down, which is smart for him, because I think he's trying to parlay this into, like, a top 10 head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the window on grabbing him is likely gone. We probably missed it, just like we missed out on Lincoln Riley, because Bob Stoops up and retired and just tabbed, you know, Riley, hey, you're going to be head coach next, go. We're like, no.
Yeah, wait a minute.
He was supposed to be our guy.
He didn't talk to us about this.
The other guy that keeps getting thrown out, and I don't like this idea, is Brent Venables. I don't see why he would want to come to Tech. But, I mean, he's done good. He's done well with defenses elsewhere, and he may be able to build on what Gibbs has done. I don't think there's enough like an overlap there between Gibbs and Venables that like to really mean anything to him. I don't know if Tech is the head coaching job he wants, because he's been basically a lifelong assistant and coordinator, probably like Aranda waiting out for a pretty good Power Five head coaching position to come available. I just don't think Tech is that spot for either one of them. And the more I think about it, Latrell maybe the most likely outside of like a Meacham or a Cumbie, somebody like still within the air raid offensive coordinator realm,
which I think we should
I'm not tied to it
from, you know.
I'm obviously not opposed to hiring a defensive coordinator as your head coach.
No, I mean, I just hate to think about it. We've got to, because we've got to be realistic. And you guessed four wins. I guessed five so far.
I don't think five is enough to keep them.
No.
I don't know if six is enough to keep
them. If either of those scenarios happens, this is a very real, you know, very real situation we'll be in come December if we're lucky we get that far.
So there's a point when it was in the out of conference ranking article I read earlier that said if Tech were to lose to Lamar, it could make things really interesting. It's like if Tech loses to Lamar, Kingsbury's not making the trip back.
No, I remember that too.
Like he won't be leaving the stadium and going home. He's like, oh, I'm just gonna I'm going to go pack the stuff in my office.
He's just going to get on back. He's going to get on 27 and hop on a flight somewhere.
He's going to hop on like Lamar's bus and try to go hang out with Eric Morris down at Incarnate Word.
Yeah, or go see what Amendola's up to, or
he's just going to
go see what Sumlin's up to. He's going to watch Manziel practice to keep his starting job at the CFL league. I don't know.
Just the understatement of it would make things interesting in Lubbock for Kingsbury if he were to lose the game against Lamar. It's like
no, Lubbock would implode. He would have to be escorted. You know how like refs leave the game the second the game's over. He would have to do the same thing. He would have to
He would be booed off the field before the game's over, I would bet.
Oh, I think so too.
Non-stop booing.
By all 17 people still there.
Yeah. So, my pick, my dream pick, I guess I would say would be Aranda. I wish we had picked him up when he was leaving Utah State, when he ended up going to Wisconsin, then from Wisconsin to LSU. He's just, like I said, ballooned, I think, out of what Tech can afford or offer him. Latrell probably the most likely, unless there's another guy that pops up on the radar that we're like, oh my gosh, he's a great up-and-comer that we need to go get right now. I don't know who that would be.
Yeah, I don't know either. And I don't know if we want an up-and-comer.
Or like an old guy that's kind of like a value pick. He's kind of been declining. It's like, he's still good enough for us.
Right. He'll take a pay cut, sort of, or
he's like a school with really high expectations that he hasn't been performing there. It's like, well, we would take 9 wins a year.
Yeah. That was kind of the argument with Sumlin when people were thinking that he could possibly take over last year. I was like, man, the Aggies just don't realize how good they have it. They're winning like 8 games a year. I'm like, well,
in the SEC West.
I know, but that does get, I'm sure that does get frustrating when that's all you're doing. It's like there's just flatline.
That's all Tech did for like a decade.
Yeah, look how frustrated we were.
We fired our guy for going 11-1.
Yeah, well, and not just.
Well, no, it was 9-3 that year.
9-3. Well, not just that, but. Okay. All right. Well, we talked about this
story
this weekend,
time.
Too.
Here we go.
We talked about this this weekend, too. Okay, Leach is great and all. Everyone, you know, whatever. But Tech played one less conference game. They didn't always and probably seldom played a Power 5 school in non-con. They had, like, some of the softest, weakest non-conference games. I mean, they would have been like number 9 or 11 or 12 every year. So, yeah, Leach, he could scrape by with 8 games more often, but he was playing one less conference game, and he was not playing a Power 5 school consistently in non-con. And then on top of that, you're in the Big 12 South, to where the Big 12 South was always more stacked than the North. The North would, mm-hmm. every now and then Nebraska would, or Nebraska was usually pretty good, but every now and then Missouri or Kansas State would make some noise, and you might draw them on top of it all. But, you know, now you play Kansas State's, you know, 7-1 when you play them. That's just how it works. You play them every year. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to be said about that he did have a good record on it, but things have changed a lot in 10 years, you know.
So looking at that the out of conference schedule for like 2008 specifically, you played Eastern Washington.
Ooh.
At Nevada.
Yeah.
Home against SMU. Home against UMass. So you had 4 out of conference games. You had 2 groups of 5, 2 FCS.
Who did we play from the Big 12 North?
You were at Kansas State.
Okay.
it doesn't say at Nebraska, but the location says Nebraska. I'm almost 100% positive that game was in Lubbock.
I think that might have been an overtime game.
It was. And then at Kansas. So you played Kansas, Kansas State, Nebraska.
Okay, so you drew a pretty good lot from the Big 12 North. I mean, Kansas, whatever. Well, but
so it was Kansas and Kansas State. That was like a Ron Prince year. So you got a Bo Pelini Nebraska team.
Yep.
And then Ron Prince Kansas State and a Mangino Kansas team.
Okay. So I mean I don't know. I just when one game matters so much in the scheme of things, where winning eight games sounds so much better than winning seven, let's not put too much praise on Leach for winning eight games more consistently because it was easier to do it.
Yeah. Let's go back to 2007 just really quickly. 2007, this was not the schedule. I know you played SMU. You were on the road for that game. You were on the road at Rice. Okay, so you were at SMU, home against UTEP, at Rice, home against Northwestern State.
So 2 years in a row, so far, just in the two-year random years you picked, none of the eight non-conference games were Power 5 schools. Zero.
Yeah, you had...
none of them.
Two group of five? Three, if you count SMU, but you played them twice. I mean, you blew out Northwestern State. That was like Parents Weekend. I remember that game. I took my parents to it. 75-7.
Oh my gosh. I don't remember that one.
I was there. Almost the entire
time. I probably was there, but I don't remember. I don't know. I might have missed a few of them. I'm sure I did. I know I did, but it seems like I would have remembered the 70-something if I was there. Because I remember TCU, like in 04 or 05, where it was just, we beat the absolute dog out of them.
It was like the 70-35 game, wasn't it?
I think it was worse than that. But yeah, it was definitely, we got in the 70s. Yeah, 70-10 is what I had in my head.
Was that the Nebraska game?
I think they were both pretty similar.
All right, sorry, I said one more. 2009, another year that you think you were pretty good. Non-conference games were North Dakota.
Mm.
You had the return game from Rice. You were at Houston, which you inexplicably lost.
Oh, I remember that one. We talked about that one this weekend, too.
Home against New Mexico. So, North Dakota, Rice, Houston, New Mexico.
So, no Power 5 schools again.
You had one group of five school.
Yeah. That's tough. Like,
as much as
a gauntlet, guys. Can't believe Leach managed eight wins. Schedule. It's unbelievable that he managed eight wins as often as he did. I just don't fathom it.
I don't get it. And then, like, okay, so the conference schedule, you were at Texas. That was the game where Potts had his head ripped off.
Yeah, no call, nothing.
No call. You had the same kind of play this past season where Szymanek was a target of a blatant targeting.
I think Leach got fined after that Texas game.
No, yeah, he ripped into them. And like, that was the week he got, like, the record fine. Was that or 2007? It was one of the games where there was
I think the
Texas
Potts
game
one.
In Austin.
I feel like it was the Potts one that made him finally just lose it, but maybe not. There may have been.
I can't remember if
him.
That was like a Billy Crystal, not Billy Crystal.
The guy from that hosts the Oscars.
No, it was.
You're right about that TCU score, by the way. It was 70-35.
Yeah,
I think it was my first Tech game.
The other, so the 2009, the conference schedule was the same as the 2008. You just flipped it where you were. So you played Kansas State, Nebraska, and Kansas.
Okay, well, now I'm just, now I'm curious. like the 03 schedule.
Randy Crystal.
There you go. Like the 03 schedule. What did they do? They played SMU, New Mexico, NC State, and Ole Miss. So they actually had a pretty dang good one.
They had a one group of five, one power five.
Yeah, that was
no FCS.
That was in 03. So that was pretty salty.
And that Ole Miss team had what's his face, Eli Manning on it.
Yeah. And we won. Tech won that one, 49-45. But okay, so we just randomly picked one year out of what, four that we looked at. And so out of 32 games, there was one Power 5 school.
Yeah. And like two group of five?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail us on that, but we were talking about that this weekend.
We went for a while on that one.
Yeah. kind of a little tangent.
Anyways, possible replacements for Kingsbury. Likely to be a guy like Littrell, maybe an unknown. I would hope for a guy like Aranda. I guess we'll see. I mean, I don't want to see Tech go 4-8 or 5-7, but I'm also at the point where I think you should pull the plug and reset or flip the switch, whatever it is.
Yeah, and you've been there for a while.
A couple of years, but kind of start building again. We'll see. We'll definitely be going over all this stuff as the season goes along. We've mentioned before, we will probably have a post-game podcast until we can't stand it anymore. It's just too depressing. No, I don't know.
That's possible. There might be a couple weeks where we just call in sick.
We're like, no, we're not doing this.
No, there's no way. There's no way. You don't want to listen to what I would have to say.
And I'm wondering if there's a way we could do it live. Because I think that would be really cool, too.
There's probably
like a Facebook Live. I have to figure that out too.
Okay.
That almost sounds like we'd have to be in the same room. Sorry, we're going back to the conversation we had before we started recording.
Yeah.
All right. I think an hour is sufficient for a mailbag.
Probably too long. Like four questions.
Yeah, if you're still listening, I'm so sorry. So that'll do it for us on the mailbag edition of the 23 Personnel Podcast. For Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for listening.